Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, September the 25th, 268th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon, Brian.
We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Estelle was in the middle of the meeting last week, so we'll talk about from her perspective what she saw, felt. And she also had the opportunity to kind of cruise some of the homeless encampments, not around Humboldt Bay, the ones that we hear so much about with EPD, the Sheriff's Department, Fire Department, et cetera, but in Southern Humboldt, where a lot of them aren't on the beaten path, they're off the road, they're out of the view shed of most of us. And we'll talk about some of the things that she ran into and encountered there also when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Now, this kind of gives you an idea of the age of the quote book. It's a great quote, unless you don't remember Bella Abzug.
Oh,
you
yeah,
do.
Okay.
I do.
Remember. Yeah, big hats.
Ding dong there, doesn't. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just say politician of the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm, kind of, yes.
Yeah. Quote, all the men on my staff can type.
That was a very important pronouncement for Bella to make in those days.
Men on staff, yes, and that they were typing too. Yeah. I'm sure that she was having fun with some of the stereotypes that might have existed on the East Coast at that time.
Yeah.
Estelle, what was the biggest impression you had? And you certainly aren't babe in the woods dealing with or seeing the propensity of homeless in Southern Humboldt. Mm-hmm. But when you got into the areas, what kind of impressions did you come out with?
Well, first of all, my mission was to be able to speak from a position of knowing what I'm talking about. You know, in other words, I had people coming up to the Board of Supervisors complaining about the situation in Garberville and Redway. I was very aware of it from the perspective of living down there and seeing it, but I wanted to get a little further in and engage the people who were camping out and doing all of these kind of things. So I went out with the two local sheriffs because I didn't feel that comfortable doing it on my own.
Well, there could have been, the fan club could have attacked you. Crowd control, I understand.
Crowd control. But they also know some of the area. So we went to, the first place we went to actually was the entrance to the local cemetery. And I think that was one of the most disturbing parts of the tour, because in there we found people sleeping in the cemetery. And not only that, they were also defecating in there, had dug a hole and using it for a toilet. And one of the young men sleeping alongside a grave, while we were talking with another couple, stood up and stood on the grave and urinated right there in front of a camera. So that was that kind of pointed out what is the core, I think, of the issue in Southern Humboldt, at least, is that there are a lot of people who are traveling around, coming through town, who have absolutely no respect, basically, for the living or the dead. And, you know, for people whose families are buried there and everything, that's just was a step too far. What I found as I went along, we went to some areas that had previously been vacated when the sheriff told them that they were trespassing and that they had come back. What I found in speaking with all of the people that we ran into is that none of them were local. Most of them were from out of state. They were from the the closest was somebody from San Diego. They were all camping illegally on the edges of town in areas that are not set up for camping. All of them, except maybe one, professed to not be homeless. They were...
Say that again?
They said they were not homeless. They were traveling, and they were...
So they were just trespassing then?
And they were not looking for work. And there were a couple that we ran into who were looking for trimming jobs in the marijuana industry, but even a whole lot of them were not. They just, they're traveling around.
Hitchhiking vacation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. But kind of more an extended one than just on a summer vacation type thing. So I talked with a few of them and... You know, discuss the fact that, first of all, where they were camping on a place called variously Hippie Hill or Tweaker Hill, depending on who's describing it, they were camping in the middle of a very dry brush and had, I found three campfires in just one small area, and that's a real fire danger. In fact, there'd been a fire right across the road in another camp. And so that was an issue. I talked to them about that. There was a group of young men in an RV that they had parked in a red zone that was blocking a crosswalk, and they'd done it for overnight and then several other hours, probably a couple of days. And they said they needed a jump start, so we got them a jump start and moved them out of there. But there were, you know, the underlying thing, I think, in Southern Humboldt has been that there's a tremendous amount of disrespect.
Disrespect or just lack of respect?
Well, I don't know. Both.
One's being neutral, one is being anti.
Oh, no, there have been lots of complaints have come in to me via email, phone, Facebook messages, people concerned about over-aggressive panhandling, people... Basically, having a sense that that they were in their right to do what they were doing, and too bad for you if they were blocking your business or blocking the sidewalk and that kind of thing.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, this concept of entitlement, aggressiveness, lack of respect for, I would say, a significant percentage of the homeless that are in Southern Humboldt. I would imagine some of the environmental stuff you guys ran into closer to the river.
Absolutely.
Was probably just as ugly, and et cetera, et cetera. Would you suggest that that mentality is similar to what we experience around Humboldt Bay? Is it different? Are they comparable? What does your intuition think?
Well, you know what I get from the kind of experiences that people have told me about, and what I get now from having talked with people and then listening actually to a report that was done on KEMA about my tour and then followed up with a visit to a local kitchen, is that there is a significant group of people that are fairly young that are traveling around the country. I mean, they're talking about going to places as far away as Texas, etc., and finding kitchens in those areas that were feeding them. So there's a significant group of people who are moving throughout the whole country, I think, who are on a kind of a network, and it's a certain kind of lifestyle. The issue in Southern Humboldt is, it was very important for me to clarify that, you know, there are people who are really down on their luck. There are people who are homeless, genuinely homeless. And then there are people who are homeless by choice. And those are the words that I heard from the people that I encountered. It's their choice. They want to do this. Yes, the individuals themselves. I have them in my notes. And so I guess it's probably happening here too. I mean, I see on the streets of Broadway, it's actually very scary sometimes driving down the street. Somebody can run out in front of you, you know.
Yeah, like the kid on the motorcycle a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Those are the kind of things that I think have a huge impact on the town, is that kind of moving into where people conduct business, where people live, etc., and just making it more challenging to get around and do things. And I think especially from a woman's point of view, it's really difficult if you come up across a crowd of 20 people hanging out on the sidewalk, and they're not going to move, even though you know they should. It's going to be difficult to actually take them on and
to
say,
flex your muscles.
Yeah,
and have
yeah,
them
right,
break.
Right. Yeah. Now, when I was with the two deputies, as soon as we pulled up, everybody just scattered because they knew themselves that they really shouldn't be doing that. They shouldn't be blocking the sidewalk. They shouldn't be hanging out like that.
And they knew that you packed. It's interesting, the attitude, the aggressive attitude. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I think that is frightening for a lot of us. And then you mm-hmm. mix in the past or current drug use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, drug use is another aspect of it. You know, it's that hard drug use that has people going really kind of wiggy, you know. I mean, we've seen situations in Southern Humboldt, and I know it's happened here too, where people are beating up on each other. I mean, there are some local homeless who've been hurt because somebody was there's that. So it's got to be a pretty scary world to live in too, you know, and to do it by choice is pretty interesting.
You've been around the Carberville Redway area for more than a year or two.
Oh yeah, I think so, yeah.
But you've been there pretty much during the drug culture's mm-hmm. period from yeah. the '70s to current.
Yeah.
Is this new? Is
yes.
this different? Is this a magnitude of difference?
Yes.
How would you describe, if you were go back to the mid-80s?
Mm-hmm. There was nothing like
and
this
then
happening.
Flash forward here, what mm-hmm. what differences are there?
Well, there obviously is a nexus to some degree. There are people who come thinking they're going to get trimming work, and for the most part, they don't. And that was one of the things that we were informing of them of. You know, if you're looking for work, you're not going to get it. And but I guess there are some people who do that. I don't know if that is just a result of networking that's gone out throughout the United States. The word go there. While I was talking with one person that we met, he referred to the fact that they were in Southern Humboldt because Arcata was quote-unquote flooded. So I don't think that Southern Humboldt is the only place that people come to looking for trimming work.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many grow house stories do we have to hear about before it really comes into effect? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Vern's Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity. When you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Vern's, get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Vern's Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, when you were doing your, I guess, tour of the homeless in Southern Humboldt.
I'm going to jump in here and say,
ahead, clarify.
Don't say homeless. The people that we're talking about are travelers or transients, or they call themselves home free or something like that. They
but
literally,
a segment
the people
of,
that I talked with them yeah. say they are not homeless. They're there by choice.
Well, that maybe,
and that's, I think, where the issue, you know.
But if they don't have permanent residence, yeah. aren't they, by definition, homeless?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not glumping.
I think the distinction I'm wanting to make is that there are people who are genuinely down on their luck, homeless, not by choice, but by circumstance, and are deserving of our care.
Support.
And
do
there are
anybody,
people who make that choice who are and because it is a choice, they have a certain, at least some that I ran into have a certain attitude that it's just, this is what I'm doing, you know. There was one graffiti that said something like, I don't want to be employed, I don't want to work. I was in Fortuna talking with some residents there because they have their issues too, despite the fact that they put an ordinance in place against camping in the area. There's still people camping on the fringes, and they'll just move around. And, you know, we talked about the difference between the Depression and what we have now, and how during the Depression, guys would come in on the train and stop at the depot. They'd go looking for work. His dad would find him some work. His mom would feed him. They'd move on. It was a really, really different kind of dynamic.
It's a cultural support.
Yeah. And there's a difference now.
Yeah. When I say homeless, that's kind of what I was thinking, is those without permanent residence.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think it would be curious for me to find out, to know what percent are, as you were describing, down on their luck, looking for an opportunity, motivated, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Not using the drugs. That segment, is that 10%? 15%? 20%? Because the churches still will work with those.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with Betty the Catholic Relief Services. I mean, there's a bunch of different folks that are out there, but I think it's really a vast minority of homeless.
And you...
So I think for most of us, when we stereotype, it's the aggressive. It's not those down on their luck, because that's a short term, not a permanent.
Well, right. And the people who, it seems to me that, you know, over time, I'll go back to Southern Humboldt just to describe it. Over time, people have been concerned. And others have said, well, everybody's got a right, you know, to move around, do whatever.
The laissez-faire attitude. Yeah.
There's less and less and less of that now as it impacts more. And it's impacting because, I think, of the attitude of some people, not everybody, but those are the ones who are making it difficult for the whole community, because they have such an impact on the day-to-day living, on the ability to be an attractive tourist town. Any of those things are impacting the business. That's why now you've got a community saying we have to do something. And in the case of Southern Humboldt, one of the things we can do, aside from having, you know, being more diligent about telling people they're trespassing and having the sheriff foot patrol, which we're going to do a little bit of, is also just getting the word out there that, no, you know, we really don't appreciate this kind of impact on our community. We're a small, unincorporated town.
That's
we
a
don't
huge
have the infrastructure.
Change.
Yes, it is.
From decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is the community to the point where it's ready for that?
We'll see.
Fine. I was expecting a far more deliberative answer than that one.
Well, I've been deliberating.
Now, you were at the meeting at the Wharfinger.
Yes, I was. That was very interesting.
Are you intrigued by the mixed message that some are already trying to push about this? And my understanding was different. It wasn't against this group or against that group. It was a management challenge.
That's right.
For the five of you over your department heads.
That's right.
Primarily focused on DHHS.
Exactly. And Mr. Crandall was there.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
So as you heard that meeting develop and play out, did it stay on topic? Did it start to deviate? Did we get into the this's and the that's? And the reason I'm asking, and then I'll let you respond, is that we've got a number of people who are receiving benefits in our area. And I would say two-thirds are probably, to one extent or the other, defrauding the system. So those, as you were alluding to, that are down on their luck, that are looking for help, assistance, short-term, are really being stolen from by the others, whether it's seniors programs, kid-based programs, those that are down on their luck, that stuff are being confiscated by these others that are coming here crashing, living off the dole, who don't need it for their subsistence. But hey, nobody's going to turn away free money, and let's have a couple of doggies on the side just for good measure. Is that close?
Well, I think what happened at the meeting was that that was the aim, and is to look at that situation, and I think that's what will come out of it, despite everything that happened at the meeting, or partly due to it. Okay, for what I think happened there is similar to what you're seeing everywhere. There's a recognition that something needs attention, and so you had people coming out giving very heartfelt testimony on how this has impacted them. I've had, local business people saying, I'm going to leave if we can't make this work better because it's impacted my business so much. And so we're at that point where people are willing to come out in droves to testify to that. And then you have people who are concerned that means that the quote unquote 1% are angry and they're going to take away all the benefits. And so you've got people speaking up on behalf of the homeless. You had a lot of that as well. And that's all well and good and is a good part of the discussion. But you had also had people signing up to work on this project to see just what is happening with the DHHS. And I know that Mr. Crandall said that one of his deputies was signing on to that group to be part of the discussion. What I look at is we are federally mandated and state mandated, and we have, our responsibility as a county to deal with those who fall through the cracks. But are we clear on how much abuse is happening, and do we want to look at that and see how that could be managed?
Do we care enough to do anything about it?
Yeah, well, I think it was pretty clear that a lot of people care, and I thought it was good that the director was there, and we had three supervisors there, just to see,
But you were spread apart in the room, so there was no Brown Act violation, right?
Well, we were there to observe, and no, we were actually spread apart, kinda. I was standing next to Sheriff Downey. I felt pretty safe there.
Yeah, as long as you're not in front of him. KINS, News and Information.
I was behind him.
It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the concept of the meeting was interesting. The way it played out was interesting. I was, frankly, stunned at the regular guy turnout.
It was pretty impressive.
This wasn't vested interest. This wasn't titles who had to be there. This wasn't this special interest group or that. What I saw was a bunch of regular people.
Yes.
Who are really frightened, scared, hacked off.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go for walks at night as regularly as we should, according to Ange with the dog. We were out on garbage night, kind of walking, and there were three guys going through the garbage cans because the recyclables are part of the program. I didn't feel comfortable in confronting him.
And you're a big guy.
Yeah, unarmed, bad aim.
Yeah.
But I thought, is it worth the hassle? That was the first thing that went through after safety.
It's the pushback that you get.
Yeah, okay, so you get somebody who might be ripped on something or inebriated or whatever, becoming violent, because there are those who are, and it's like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Sick the warm fuzzy dog on it? He'll just go up and wonder if there's food. I mean, it was, but all that stuff was running through my head as we were going through, and I thought, here we are in the middle of Eureka, and I'm feeling that way. Interesting that others also feel that way, are motivated enough to do something. Yeah. If somebody wasn't there, out of town, now wants to get motivated, wants to be involved, et cetera, et cetera, what do they do? Do they contact their supervisor? Do they contact DHHS? Where do you go at this point to do something?
Well, that's a very good question. I would say, go ahead and contact your supervisor, because we can figure out a way to direct the energy. I think there were a lot of people who signed on to that list that was put together at that meeting, and I could find out how people can join that list. And I think it's great that people want to be involved. I thought it was great that people felt that it was important enough to them to let us all know that they have concerns, and we do need to look at what the structure is and see if there are any changes that can be made that would help the situation.
Thanks for coming by. Obviously, there's going to be an after show on this one, but you guys are all left out. Sorry. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.